Okay, go to Matthew 6. Start in verse 9. As I said last time we studied, in the Jewish religion at the time of Christ, there were 18 prayers that had to be said every day at particular times. There were an unbelievable number of benedictions and blessings that were said at various times of the day of different seasons. Christ, when they said, teach him, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, what he was saying is, he took this one prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and replaced all of those other things that were standard operating procedures for everybody that went by the, under the name of God. And he said, pray in this manner. Now, let's hear it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, that's the alleged end of it, but it isn't. Verse 14 then says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, we've studied that over and over over the years, and it's a rough one. It's a rough one. God says that your forgiveness in the eyes of God is dependent on your forgiveness of men. So everybody is very eager around here to forgive normally. I mean, forgiveness is, okay, I forgive you. But in truth, you haven't forgiven. In truth, the forgiveness has been become as a liturgy, and in fact, there's been no forgiveness, and you've just covered it over, you've put oil on the water, so that the clash that would come when confronting the issue that you haven't forgiven someone over, when that clash, you try to do everything in your power to avoid the clash. You put oil on the water, and that's called a truce instead of forgiveness. The closer you are to someone, the more you've done this. Between the married couples here, there are probably truces that would fill 55 file cabinets. That you've settled on truces over issues that tore you up at the time. But you say, well, now I've sort of forgotten about it. Well, you haven't forgotten about it. It's locked into your consciousness, and there, in fact, and it's, in many cases, it's worse than a truce. It's a hate. Every one of you has at least one, probably innumerable issues with me. Because you have learned that it's better to be in a state of truce with me than it is to confront me. Lee hates me because of what she perceives that I did to Doug, but she won't confront it. Harry hates me for 10,000 reasons. You understand? There are so many truces in this group that it's like Chamberlain. Is it in the Prime Minister? Who is the Prime Minister?
Oh, yeah, Neville Chamberlain.
Neville Chamberlain. Peace in our time, Hitler's right under the water, ready to destroy the first, at the first image, or the first light. Now, how do we know? How do you know there's a truce? I know there's a truce between Lee and me, because the very mention of Doug brings up innumerable imageries and emotional impact. You know, there's how many times, how many are there with you? How many truces are there really between you and Tylene? How many things are you not really forgiving about, but you just don't talk about? Well, that's not the way the heavenly... I don't want God to forgive me that way. I don't want God to forgive me on the basis that I don't bring up something. You know, I told you, my mother and I have a truce on two issues. I can't say two things in her house, as I told you. I can't mention the word Gene Johnston or the name, and I can't say fuck. Everything else is fine, but if I say those two things in her house, the war starts. So therefore, there's no forgiveness. She's the girl that my mother thinks ruined my life. Now, for some of you, the only way you've lived is by truce. And so it's hard for you to know what I'm talking about. You've had, it's become as common as breathing to enter into a state of truce rather than confront anyone. You've learned it since you were a child. Never, ever, ever put anyone else in an either-or position. Always walk carefully and tread carefully around these particular subjects. Don't open up this wound. It's rampant. And I promise you that we must tear up the truces so that true forgiveness can be manifested before Passover. Does anybody have anything to talk about now?
I guess part of the reason that, you don't want to get into the war or whatever, the person that I think about is my mother, you don't want to get into the war about it all because there's no resolve, it's like, I can say it all, and it still is just like blowing it
then,
up,
then,
you know?
Then but push it to the limit.
Well, I don't know how more to push it to the limit than I am.
Well,
what I'm asking is, does there have to be, because in my situation, I can't really make her resolve it with me. Does there have to be a resolve?
There has to be a resolution in your mind. Okay. It doesn't have to be a resolution in anybody else's, but it can't be based on you not bringing up certain subjects. You understand?
Yeah. In other words, you can only be responsible for your forgiveness.
I still don't think I've reached it. I've touched it. I don't think you understand. How many times are you like a firecracker ready to go off, and you're walking through life, And all of a sudden somebody pulls out in front of you and you explode. Or somebody says a particular word to you and you pout and you go and you go hide out for 3 days. Or, it's like there's something about you that you know. There's an emotional condition here that is so delicate that the slightest disturbance in the force will cause an eruption. What's the fruit of forgiveness? Maybe that's the way to do this. The fruit of forgiveness, by definition, has to be agape, unconditional love. Anything less than unconditional love is only toleration or sloth or a truce. There are... I mean, you don't know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then talk to me about them. Show me some truces that you've gotten.
Well, I'll show you two. I don't like to be around Sheriff. I can't stand Sheriff. And it's... I just love to find out that I'm supposed to watch the kids with her. I'm 12. It's like, wonderful. And... that's a truce. And Terry, I've got a truce with Terry. It's like... this whole deal about the truck.
And the van.
Well, the van, I don't give a shit about. The truck is my problem, not the van.
How about anybody in here?
I can't think of anybody that I have a truce with in here.
How about your wife?
I've been thinking, but I don't know.
We talked about it. I mean, if it's there, it's so...
I mean, there's... she pisses me off from time to time, but it's usually because I have to put aside my selfishness in a moment. That's what we fight over. That's what we get into.
What do we not talk about? What is it that sets each other off?
Okay. Let me talk about this thing about forgiveness. Everything in the universe tries to get into a state of balance. That's why, the planets circle around the sun, the stars and the universe, the constellations are in a state of balance, relatively speaking, to their surroundings. Well, it's also true psychologically that you must be in a state of balance, otherwise you're going to explode. Now, therefore, if you have harmed someone, or if someone has harmed you, and there isn't any understanding of what took place, there isn't any balance, then if you try to forgive them, you can't. If you could measure it, you can't forgive them because there hasn't been any repentance on their part. They haven't asked you to forgive them. You understand? So there can't be forgiveness. It has to be a balance, especially internally. You have to be balanced internally to be able... look at what Christ did. Christ never forgave the Pharisees. He said, you fools, you hypocrites, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? We throw around forgiveness... we make a mockery of its meaning. But the core of us doesn't. We hold the resentments. Because our core knows that there needs to be this balance. Things have to be brought into a state of equity, equanimity. The principle is that for what judgment you judge, it shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. There has to be some... balance. Now, the only reason that I can know about forgiveness is that I know the depth of the evil that I am. You can't know what forgiveness means until you've experienced your own terror, your own evil. Am I communicating? As long as you can take a righteous position, then you will never be able to forgive anyone in truth. You will forgive them on your basis.
It's like a lot of times we say, please forgive me, and don't even think about the, do I forgive you? And so if you say, please forgive me, and someone pats you on the head, you haven't done anything about your resentments towards them.
Right, and that will do you more harm than you can ever dream of.
What if you want to forgive the person, but you don't feel like the person really understands what they did? You know what I'm saying? You've talked to the person, and the person, obviously, I'm talking about. It's like in Harry's.
Oh, let's go. Let's go Matthew 18, see what he says. Matthew 18, starting verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, the trespass is something that is there's some action or some attitude that is deserving of, that is bothering you, that isn't in equanimity. It's not balanced. It's not right. Listen what happens. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church, or to the assembly is what it says. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. What we do instead of this process is we accept on the basis anything, I don't know, in the name of peace. We accept in the basis of, I don't want to face this tonight, so I'll accept it. What he's talking about here is that, if there is an offense between you two, now, the offense is something that requires justice. Now, he doesn't see it. So you take two or three with you. He still doesn't see it. You tell it to the body. He still doesn't see it. Then he, to you, doesn't exist. That is the only way the Holy Spirit can then work to cause the repentance, to cause the equanimity to take place, the end of the truce. You understand that? We are cowards 90% of the time, and we don't confront the issues of whatever it is within us to the point where the Holy Spirit can work. We still lean on our own arm of understanding, and we are afraid to confront it because we're afraid. What we're afraid of is we're afraid there's no God. You understand? Now, most of you have lived your entire life on that basis. You've been taught from the smallest childhood, compromise. But you've never believed in the compromise. You know, so that you would never, ever, ever consider putting someone in an either-or position. That's not Christian. Oh, yes, it is. It's the most Christian thing you can do. Now, I know you all well enough to know that there is an innumerable number of truces. I don't want to be the one that comes out and says, this is the truce. I want you to see where the truces exist. You know, Tara is just barely starting to come out of the umpteen number of truces she's had over me. And so now we're able to kid about some stuff. But it's taken months, and it's a heartache. It's difficult. But when we can come out and risk everything, then it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to work in our lives instead of us trying to solve it. Now, I hope you all recognize that we waited a long, long time before we started saying that truces are worthless. Because if we didn't, we couldn't have abided till now. Maybe the way to approach this is, tell me a relationship you have that isn't based on a truce. That might be the better way that you might be able to understand this. Do you understand? Do you know what justice is? Justice is a condition where whatever law that is extant and whatever punishment is extant if you break the law has been satisfied. as long as I can affect you, i.e. make you mad at me over any issue, then that means that you want justice. If you want justice, then you haven't yet recognized that you are the chief of sinners. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, as I said, we know nothing about forgiveness until we are confronted with our own hopelessness.
Yes.
Otherwise, forgiveness becomes a psychological tool, as opposed to a, in other words, a tool to get something, rather than the spiritual meaning of forgiveness. Do you understand that when the world talks about forgiveness, all it is an instrument of manipulation to reach an end objective? Can you hear that? If you're married and you say to your husband or wife, I forgive you, you don't mean it. You just mean that it's to your benefit to cause this fight to be over. Okay, the problem is that you've taken that attitude and brought it in here. And you are using forgiveness as an instrument of manipulation. And you're saying, whether it's against me, which for several of you it is, that I better not push this because I might get hurt or I might lose or something negative will happen to I. So therefore I will seek forgiveness and offer forgiveness.
Yeah, that's been the case so many times with me, because it's like a double whammy, you know, being your girlfriend and being in the group. I mean, because it's like, man, you know, and it's so been, it's to gain something. It's so I don't have to lose my ass.
And me too.
And not have to push something to the end of it, you know. And
that's what, can you see though that how God, that would make God really mad?
Yeah.
It's not smart to make God really mad. I know, that's why you know what Tylene's up to, because you've been doing it.
By the way, now I really understand why, when I showed you that card this evening, I really understand why you said, which one's it for?
Well.
If your forgiveness is not based on perfect justice, it'll fail.
Justice again being equilibrium.
If something hasn't happened to cause that situation to be in perfect equilibrium, if it's not based on that, it'll fail. And the failure of it, for most of the world, what happens is there's a hole just below the surface. There are 23 corks with poison darts in the end of them that are just ready to come off the surface, just waiting for the right stimulus so they can explode out. That's why what happens when couples break up, there's so much vehemence. It's just awesome when you stop to see what the vehemence that takes place after a couple breaks up. And they can break up for any reason. I mean, a little teeny reason, and all of a sudden, okay, we're going to have a friendly divorce. And pretty soon, they've been oozied 50,000 times, and they're oozing the other party. And all of you have seen this. Well, the reason is because there was never forgiveness all the times that they said there was, I forgive you. It was a lie. A manipulative lie. But the problem is that you are such a manipulative liar that you don't recognize you're lying. Until something confronts you that says, push it to the wall, motherfucker, black or white. And that's what we're going to be about between now and Passover. Every single issue that is confronted that I know about you, I will personally push to the wall. There's not going to be any hot seats between now and Passover. It's going to be one continuous one. I mean, I don't want another truce to be possible. I don't want a truce with your parents. I don't want you having truces with me because you're afraid of me. I don't want you having truces with your kids. I don't want you having truces with your whoever, anybody, so that you can, we'll just keep this calm. We're just going to keep on going here. You're liars. Well, isn't this nice? They finally listened to one word. You're robbing them, you're robbing God, you're robbing this body. If they won't hear, then you shake the dust off your feet. If they hear, you've gained somebody. In here, you will have, whoever it is, will be unto you as a heathen, as a publican. He's not unto the church, he's unto you as a heathen and a publican, because he will not hear. And it could be me. I mean, do you understand? I mean, there may be four or five of you that have that by this process that we just read in Matthew 18 will consider me a total heathen. But you've got to push it. There's nothing, there's no possibility of celebrating Passover without, if you have one truce. Do you understand? No. If you have to make a list, make a list. Whatever is necessary to find out your truces. I feel like I'm talking to a bunch of... Do you
what do you do with them
when you
find them out?
In front of...
What you're saying is if you forgive somebody and deep down inside you don't really mean it, you're basically being judgmental, you're not being honest,
and you're lying.
Well, basically, you're being judgmental.
And you're lying to God.
Okay.
And you haven't accepted the cross. And to you, Jesus Christ is just like any other historical figure.
So if you just try and walk the path of Jesus and learn what kind of example he set for us, you should be able to grow out of that.
You will fall on your face.
Why?
Because for you to live as Christ, you must pick up the cross in order to do it. He didn't ever come to show you the way. He is the way.
Okay.
And the only way that can be manifested in you is if you pick up the cross and accept your death. But if you try to learn to do it...
If you try and... how do I want to say this? I'm not trying to say be Christ, but be as much like Christ and live as much like Christ as you can.
But you will fail.
Certainly.
Okay, well, that's
why he died on the cross, so that we...
But he died on the cross, so his life would be manifested in you as a vessel.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the cross, that's, except you be... You know, we have to pick up the cross. We have to see that we are dead, and he is the one that's living in the vessel. As long as we try, then we are just as the Jews that are trying... You have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. You have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You're still about trying to establish your own righteousness by trying to keep the law, or by trying to do it right. We have to come to the end of ourselves, saying that we can't do it right, that we are the chief of sinners, not that we used to be, but that we are tonight, and that the no flesh can glory, and by that act of his efficacy and his resurrection in this vessel, he will live his life if I abandon mine. But if I take mine back in control, then I have to try. Then I have to cause, then I'll get up with all these truces. I won't have the guts to confront these issues. Now, whether it's, if you think you have to make a list, make a list. You know, you know that I'm going to come, you know there's so many, you.
Of course, I mean, I'm just waiting. I don't know if that's what you want to do right now.
Well, I want you to be able to honestly confront the truces.
I do too. It's not working. I mean, the truces aren't working. The life is intolerable. It's getting, becoming more intolerable. I'm getting more and more tired.
And there's, but there's, I mean, there's just so much lack, there's so much, there's no agape, basically. I mean, there's, the things that you crave, the things that you desire can't be had in this position of being the truths. I mean, if nothing else, that your own selfishness push you into the place where you, you know, want to see this through to the end so that you can have some fellowship with somebody, or you can be,
you know, I mean, that's my reason for wanting to do it, is my own selfishness.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That scripture will make no sense to you until you recognize your own despair and know that God's justice had to be maintained, that you are on that cross with Jesus Christ, that your death is the only way that his demand could be met. And that he died as you on the cross. That's a biggie. You've heard this for a long time. What does it mean? For the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Well, that's a biggie. We go to Galatians 2 and we'll see that we start by believing in Jesus. We will go along on that basis, and we try and we try and we try so that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus. Two different worlds. Now, the faith of Jesus is tried in your response to what you consider injustice. The moment you can forgive, then it's the recognition by the Holy Spirit that you've picked up the cross, that you know the meaning of the cross. That's why this forgiveness, he can only forgive as you forgive others. That's pretty wild. That's not taught a great deal. That's up there on par with you'll travel over sea and land to make one convert. When he is made, you'll make him twice the child of hell that you are.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's like he only wants family until we want their family.
Amen. Otherwise, we'll just fling forgiveness around like, because it's the Christian thing to do.
Have a Cheeto.
Have a doggy biscuit. But we no more mean it because we haven't confronted our own sinfulness. And we've just flung it around because we've read somewhere that you should be able to do that if you're a Christian. And that you intuit, because of the evil one in you, that it's to your benefit to forgive. Well, we're going to take away those masks in the next few months. few weeks.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's enough. Anybody have any questions, comments, talks? Harry, I think you need to talk a little bit before we break up tonight. You seem like you're going crazy.
Well, I don't feel crazy, but I think a lot of in the beginning of the evening, I think I probably said, well, I would have said, well, what do you mean? What, you
know, is that what?
What do I?
It's local lessons.
What do I have truces with you? But I mean, I've tried to deal with this. I've tried everything. I can't deal with it. It's still there. I really resent. I mean, more than resent. I mean, I don't know what the word is. I really resent the way that you treat me. I think that you go way too far. It's massive, and I have not confronted it because the times that I have confronted it, I've perceived that if I continue, I have only one choice, and that is to leave and be alone. There have been moments when I have really perceived that you love me, and there have been moments when I have felt like we are brothers and co-workers and all that kind of stuff. But the huge majority of the time, I think you treat me worse, and I just resent it. Terrible. I've tried to be mature about it. I've tried to say it's what I need. I've tried all that stuff, talking with myself about it. And usually, you know, I'm able to bury it down, but one little thing will happen, and what you're saying about flaring up, I mean, one little thing will happen, and it just flares up, and it's the thing that causes it to flare up is ridiculous. It's silly, it's meaningless, and I can never defend, or I can't justify, or, you know, I can't speak to the thing that causes it, because there's 5 years of stuff. It's like, you know, what you were saying when a couple breaks up.
The reason that...
And it's frustrating because, I mean, I know all the words. I've tried all the words. What really got me about what you said tonight was almost the last thing you said, which was about justice and seeing the necessity for the things that I don't know what you said, but what I heard was it's bullshit if you forgive somebody when they do something to you that you deserve. I mean, that's nothing. It's when they really do offend you that you can see that that's necessary and it not matter. I mean, that's what really gets me.
Yeah, let me just read one quick thing that has nothing really in that. I mean, I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't be mad at me. That's not what I'm talking about. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The The idea of loving your enemies is the thing that will cause the truth of what forgiveness really means to become manifest. Well, I just basically heard a little bit, and I decided I wanted to, that you didn't want me there, so I left.
Well, that wasn't true. Well, I mean, I keep getting, they keep saying this thing, my God, I'm 46 years old, when am I going to grow up? And I should... Well, that's wrong.
The reason that this came up, as I think all of you know, except you guys, that I'm on the grand jury for Dallas County this term. It's a 3-month term. And I sat there each session before we announced that we were going to do this on the truce business. And I saw each of these prisoners or these defendants ask for justice. And they had no idea what they were talking about. They're asking for oil to be put on the water. They're asking for a momentary thing where there can be no confrontation. And they've got all these people around them to help them do it. They've got attorneys, they've got the system itself, everybody is trying to cause, the whole world is trying to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. And it's got to stop. And the judgment must first begin at the house of God, here. And so that's why, when I saw how, and we went and visited the jail, and my God, and the prisoners had heard through the grapevine that the grand jury was visiting. So, wherever we went, inside that humongous jail down there, they put on a show for us, all of them had one to talk to you, I'm innocent.
Let me tell you what really goes on. I had a conversation last night with Pete, and another conversation with Steve, and another conversation with Wade. The things that I just said about you, that I feel that you've done to me, that's my stock in trade. And that's what
we will do that. That's why it says what you judge someone else and you're guilty of yourself. That's the constant. And that's why this thing of forgiveness has to be the only thing that can satisfy us, where there's no truces. Think of the truces you have with the people in this body. You mentioned three of them right there, Wade, Pete, whoever the other one was.
Steve.
Think of the truces. Steve. Think of the truces you have. All of us. Well, those truces aren't... It's time to call an end to the truce. That he's either... he's either your life or he isn't your life. He's not your life. There's a whole lot of easier places to go to church. And then this. This is not fun. Okay, take a big guy.